This is a testimony of how God rescued me from death. This is Deeply Rooted. Welcome to Deeply Rooted with me, your host, Sina Zokos. This is a podcast where we discuss and delve deeper into the intimate conversations we all have with our Heavenly Father. Welcome to it, beloved. Thank you so, so much for joining us. If you're new, welcome. If you've been here from the beginning, I appreciate it. We appreciate it. We are growing as a family immensely. So thank you so, so much for that. And yeah, welcome to the new ones. I trust and believe that your life will not be the same after you listen to this episode and other previous episodes and the coming episodes as well. So thank you so much. So as I said in the intro, this is going to be a very vulnerable episode because I'll be talking about a recent testimony, because this is not something that happened a long time ago. In the recent weeks it happened, and it will be very vulnerable, as I said, and I believe a lot of people, young people and even old people, may be able to relate to it or resonate with it. So yeah, that's what I'll be talking about today. But before we get into it, let's start with a short prayer just to invite the Lord to be with us. I mean, we believe that he's always with us, but to just ask him to help us, you know, understand the word, get answers through the word, and just see the full impact of the word being made manifest in our lives. So let's pray. Dear God, we come before you this day. We thank you, Lord God, that you are God. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You do not change, oh God. You're consistent in your character. You're consistent, oh God, in your magnitude. You're consistent, Lord God, in your faithfulness, in your love, in your mercy, in your grace. We thank you, God, that we can come before you as we are. We thank you, God, that we can come to you in faith, that you'll transform us and you'll transform our lives, oh God, and that we will never be the same again. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity, oh God, to dissect your word and to experience your word coming alive in our lives. Thank you, Lord God, that you speak to us through your word, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord God, that you've given us your word to be healed, oh God, and to give us direction, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord God. As I pray that this episode, oh God, has its full impact in me, on me first, oh God, and then to others who will be listening. Touch them, oh God, speak to them, Lord God, save them through this testimony, Lord God, and make yourself glorified through this testimony, God, in everyone's ears who will be listening. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray, Lord God, and we thank you and we trust and believe that you are with us. For your word says, Lord, when two or more are gathered in your name, O God, you are in their midst. Show yourself strong, mighty God, and be in our midst at this time. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you. Amen and amen. So, as I said at the beginning, guys, it's a testimony of how God delivered me from death, literally. Because I was going through a really, really dark time. You know, sometimes it hits you and it's not something that happens gradually, but sometimes it's something that happens gradually and then you literally just have the worst breakdown of your life. And I believe what I was going through is the worst emotional breakdown of my life, you know. And I really pray that God helps me to be able to speak on this. And yeah. So basically that's what happened. I was having an emotional breakdown, guys. I don't know if you guys can relate to this, but I believe that some can relate to it. But you know, when you're praying to God for certain things, let's say you're praying for God to show up in your family, to save a loved one, to heal, to provide, or when you are also praying for yourself, you know, that God heals you from past traumas and shows up, you know, the way that he said he would show up in your life, you know, and you're waiting and you're trusting. And let's say you haven't seen anything as yet, but you're trusting that God is going to pull through for you, right? So I was in the middle of that situation, right, of that state, and I was standing in faith, you know, and I was thinking of all these things that God is going to do. But sometimes the enemy gets you at that moment where you're thinking of everything that you've laid before God and you're trusting God for, and he whispers lies into your ears, you know, whispering that no, nothing's going to change. This is how it's forever going to be. You won't see breakthrough. Your family won't get deliverance. You won't get healing. And, right? So it was at that moment where I literally had a breakdown because everything was coming at me at once. You know, sometimes you think of these things one by one. You pray about them one by one. But on that day, literally everything, guys, was it felt like it was literally thrown or slapped onto my face that these are the things that you're praying for and nothing's going to happen. And you're waiting, you're literally waiting. And as you're waiting, there's literally nothing that's going to happen. Nothing's going to transform, you know. So all of those things, it literally felt like a slap on my face that, you know, I'm trusting God for these things, but there's a voice from the enemy, obviously, that says it's not going to change. It's not going to happen. And there's so much required of me, you know, to hold on to faith. Sometimes it's not easy having faith. Sometimes you get discouraged. Sometimes, you know, you watch what's happening next door and you watch other people's lives and how they're suffering. So you imagine yourself as though you're someone that's also going to experience the same fate or the same experience, or rather, you know. So it was that kind of situation. And when I experienced that situation, I literally had a breakdown. I don't know whether to call it a panic attack. I don't know what to call it. I don't know what to call it, guys, what I was experiencing at that moment. But it was a literal mental and emotional breakdown to the point where I felt like Elijah. I literally felt like Elijah, guys, and I'll get into that in a moment. But if some of us know the story of Elijah, right, it's in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verse 4. In fact, it's not, that's just one verse I'd like to pull out of that whole story. I'll summarize it for you guys. But the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verse 4 says, "While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. 'I have had enough, Lord,' he said. 'Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors.'" Those are literally the words of Elijah, guys, right? I just want to read this verse one more time. "While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat under it, and prayed that he might die. 'I have had enough, Lord,' he said. 'Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors.'" So, yeah, I literally felt like that, guys. You see those words Elijah said in that verse? That was me at that moment. I was like, "God, I've had enough. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. Life requires so much from me. I'm just a girl. I'm just human. And I just can't handle it. And I feel like it's too much. And I don't want to be here. There's no motivation for me to keep going. There's no motivation for me to do anything that's required of me in these, you know, situations, in these circumstances, whether it's holding on to faith. I'm tired of having faith. I'm literally tired. I was tired. I was at the end of my rope, guys. I was literally at the end of my rope, same way Elijah was. And guys, if some of you have never heard the story of Elijah, to just summarize it for you guys, basically Elijah was a prophet of God, right? And God literally moved mightily through Elijah. So Elijah performed a lot of miracles assisted by the Holy Spirit, you know. So Elijah, during this time, he had just performed yet another miracle, because there were prophets of a certain idol or a certain God, right? God with a small letter G. And these prophets were, and the God was called Baal, right? And these prophets, there was basically a contest to see which God is actually the true God, between the God Almighty, which is Elijah's God, and the God that we follow and the God that he followed, and the God of the prophets of Baal, basically. So on this particular day, just to summarize everything, the prophets of Baal, so the contest was basically to say, we are going to request both sides to basically light up a sacrifice, or light up a fire, right? And first, the prophets of Baal started, because I believe there were many of them, right? And they tried, guys, they tried, but nothing was coming. The fire was not coming. The fire was not coming, and the sacrifice therefore didn't go up, right? The fire was not coming. They prayed to their God, to their idol. They prayed. Nothing happened, guys. Until it was Elijah. Elijah literally called on the fire of God once, and the fire came down and the sacrifice went up. And that's how he defeated the prophets of Baal. And I believe they were killed, because it was proven then that the God of Elijah is the one true God, right? But at that moment, there was a lady during that time called Jezebel, right? And Jezebel held a position of power at the time. And I believe she was the wife of some king, if I'm not mistaken. I don't want to just say she was this person without being sure, guys. I like getting my facts straight, right? So, yes, she was married to King Ahab, right? So I just searched it up right now, guys. So Jezebel was a Phoenician princess who became a notorious queen of Israel through her marriage to King Ahab. So yes, she was the queen of Israel, but she hated the one true God, and she actually loved idols. She loved false gods, and she was a supporter of the prophets of Baal because they supported idols and false gods and everything, right? So at this time, when Elijah defeated these gods, he was on the run because Jezebel was going to kill him, and Jezebel was coming after him, right? So he ran off into the wilderness, and when he got to the wilderness, that's when he said, God, I've had enough. I don't want to live anymore. I don't want to die because I'm no better than my forefathers. Take me now. You know, so it's not new, guys. It's not new. Getting to the end of your rope is not new. Feeling suicidal, so to speak, is not new. Feeling depressed, going through anxiety, depression, all these mental health states. It's not new, guys, because with Elijah, it's not clear whether he had a moment of feeling that way or whether it was actually, you know, something that he was suffering from, right? Like, it's not clear whether it was just a moment of wanting to die at that moment or whether it was an actual mental health struggle that he had, right? But either way, guys, he got to that point, and I felt like I was at that point too, right? And the story continues where Elijah was basically praying and telling God that, God, please take me because I don't want to live anymore, right? The story continues where God sends an angel, and the angel bakes bread for him at a distance, and then he eats and he drinks and then he rests. And then after resting, he continued with his journey. So basically, God gave him strength at that moment, right? Where he wanted to die, God was like, you just need to rest. Rest, and I'll take care of you, and I'll give you strength for the journey ahead. And basically, that's what happened, right? So something similar happened to me as well at that moment. I was telling God that, God, I'm tired. And you know what, guys? Sometimes when you're in that state, right, you don't even know how to talk to God. Maybe you just speak to yourself, and you're like, you know what? I just want to die. And it's actually so sad and so painful, guys. And I believe I'll have an episode about this in the near future about mental health struggles. But it's so painful because some people don't even care, and they literally listen to those thoughts and they take their life at that moment. They take their lives at that moment. I mean, we see this with Judas, guys, the one who betrayed Jesus. He ended up taking his own life, right? And that's actually one of the saddest stories in the Bible, because I believe, and many other people believe, that if he had not taken his own life and repented, Jesus would have forgiven him. And he would have probably become one of the greatest apostles and teachers, you know, like Peter, because Peter also denied Jesus. He also betrayed Jesus, you know, but he came back to repentance, right? And he came back to God, and he didn't take his own life. And he was forgiven and was used mightily by God. And he even has books of his own in the Bible, right? So it's sad, guys. It's really sad, because when you get to that moment, the enemy is able to suffocate you so much mentally and emotionally, to the point where you see no use in continuing. You see no use in talking to God, right? But one thing that was keeping me is that I know deep down in my heart that the results of that are never good. You know, when you get to that point and the enemy convinces you to do it, the results are never good. You leave your family, your friends in pain. Even, you know, in eternity, you don't get to spend eternity with God when you take your life by yourself, you know. So that's basically what was holding me back from making that decision. And in that moment, I was telling God that, God, I'm not going to do it myself. Hence, I say, I believe that it's literally the same situation as Elijah, because Elijah also didn't take his own life. He was like, God, take me. And I feel like I was in the same shoes as Elijah. I was like, God, please be the one to do the job, because I'm tired. I don't want to be here. Yeah. Either come back, uzolanda ibandla lakho, come back, or take me. That was my stance. And I was so tired, guys. I had the worst breakdown of my life. And the same way that God showed up for Elijah, right? Sending him an angel, preparing bread and giving him water and rest and just giving him the strength to continue with his journey. I also experienced that, because at that moment, the Holy Spirit laid in my heart that we, as his followers, as people who've given their lives to Christ, as people who have a relationship with God, we are not meant to carry all of this by ourselves, guys. Everything that we're praying for, everything that we're trusting God for. In fact, this entire life, guys, work, school, families, you know, everything, we are not supposed to carry it by ourselves. The book of Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 has been in my heart in the recent weeks, and especially even at that moment when I was going through that. And Jesus says in that verse that everyone who's heavy laden or everyone who's carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I will give you rest, right? And then he goes on to say, take my yoke upon yourself and learn from me, because I'm humble and gentle in spirit, you know, and you will find rest for your souls. But I like verse 28 more, where he says, everyone who's heavy laden, everyone who's carrying heavy burdens, everyone who's feeling tired, come to me and I will give you rest. You know, and that's such a beautiful reassurance. And that's literally what hit me at that moment, because when I was communicating with God, telling him that I want him to take me, he instead gave me his word. He gave me that scripture in particular, you know, saying, I'm not supposed to carry this. I'm not meant to carry it. Yes, these are things that I'm trusting God for. Yes, I want them to happen. Yes, I'm trusting God. Yes, I'm praying for my family. I'm praying for healing. I'm praying for myself. I'm praying for all these things, but I'm not meant to carry them. They are not supposed to feel heavy on my shoulders. I'm not supposed to be carrying the weight of them. Instead, I'm supposed to trust in God and give them to God and literally find rest, because I know that God is handling it. You know, I was saying last week when I was recording the episode for last week that spoke about being humble, there's a scripture in the book of 1 Peter, I believe it's chapter 5 or 6, and it was last week's episode was based on that scripture, and it says that be humble, but I think it's the verse after that, actually. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will lift you up, right? I don't know whether it comes before or after, but there's a scripture in that same passage that says, cast all your cares. Yes, it's the scripture after that, right? So it starts by saying, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will lift you up. And then verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you, right? So at that moment, the Holy Spirit reminded me of the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, that you're not meant to carry this. I say everyone who's heavy laden, everyone who's carrying heavy burdens, everyone who's tired, everyone who's weary, come to me and I will give you rest. You're not meant to carry it, Sinazo. You're not meant to carry it. This is not for you to carry. The devil is a liar, because he's thinking now the results of your prayer requests are on your shoulders. It's on you. The faith is on you. Everything is on you. Everything is facing you. Forgetting that there's actually a God who we can pray to help us have faith, to help us find rest, to help us believe that these things are not on us, but they're on his hands, right? So basically, that's what happened at that moment. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of that. He also reminded me that, in fact, when we come to the realization that the world is not a nice place, that's where we are becoming more like him. And let me explain, guys. So I think around that time before, I don't know whether it's before or after I had that breakdown, there was always something in my mind that, you know, we actually live in an ugly world. And we all know this, guys. We see it on the news. We see it on social media. We see it on people's views that are really, really ugly and unhinged and really just horrible. You know, we see this. We see that we are in a horrible world. We live in a horrible world. People are horrible. People make horrible decisions. People hate each other. People dishonor God and, right? So literally, what was happening at that moment is that I found myself, you know, before that breakdown, I found myself thinking that actually we live in an ugly world and I don't even like being in the world because of how ugly it is. You know, I even got to a point where I was like, you know what? I'm one of those people who would really like Jesus to come back and for this world to come to an end. You know, I wouldn't mind. I'm not one of those people who are like, you know what? I don't want Jesus to come back. I want him to delay his coming because I have certain aspirations, certain goals. I don't care about any of that, guys. I just want to be with my Father. I got to that point, you know. And God actually said to me at that moment, after he revealed to me that I'm not meant to carry this, I'm not meant to be heavy laden, I'm supposed to trust that he cares for me and I should cast my anxiety and all these burdens to him and have rest in my soul, trusting that he is with me, right? So having done that, having revealed that to me, he also revealed that it's okay. It's actually good that I'm not that much of a fan of the world. And I would like to say this to everyone as well, that if you see and have come to the realization that the world is an ugly place, that's where you are actually becoming more like God. And that's where you will be free from idolizing this world. I mean, for example, guys, the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, I'll just read it very quickly. It says this: do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love for the Father is not in them, right? So basically what this means is, if you love the world to the point where you are a diehard fan of this world, you would give anything to get everything in this world, to get the wealth, to get, you know, to get that marriage, to get the job, to just exist in the world, to be known, to get popularity, and that is literally first place in your heart and first place in your mind, then you should, unfortunately, you should rearrange your priorities. You should definitely rearrange your priorities, because yes, we are in the world. Yes, we have prayer requests. Yes, obviously we want to live well in the world, and there's nothing wrong with that, because Jesus said he has come to give us life and life in abundance, right? And we are here to live abundantly and have abundant life, you know. But in the same breath, that shouldn't be something that dominates us. It shouldn't dominate our desires. You know, all these ambitions, all these things should not dominate us. What should dominate us is our relationships with God. It's God Himself. It's literally eternity that we will spend with Him. That's what should dominate our minds. The fact that there's a world beyond what we are living now. You know, Jesus made a promise in the book of John chapter 14 and said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to be with the Father, and I'll prepare a place for you so that where I am, you also can be with me. You also will be, right? So that's what we should be looking forward to, and that's what should be dominating our minds, right? So at that moment, God literally made it clear to me that now you're becoming more like me, because you are starting to see the world for what it is, that this world is not a lovely place, guys. We can all agree on that, that the world is such an ugly place. And when you get to that point or that moment of being tired of the world, you're becoming more like God. But now there's a distinction, guys, because I'm not saying the emotional breakdown I had was godly or whatever, but an element of it, in an element of my mentality or of my thinking at that moment, is that God was literally showing me that now I'm becoming more like Him, you know. I'm becoming more like, you know, what He says in His word, that we shouldn't love the world, we shouldn't love anything in the world, you know. So it's very, very important for us to also know that, and also take note of that at all times, that, you know, it's important for us to not have our minds here. I don't know how to explain it, guys, but also another scripture that came to me at that time is the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, right? It says, set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth, right? But before that, it says, if then you have been raised with Christ, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, or on the earth, right? So basically what this is saying is, yes, we go through all these things. Yes, we have prayers. Yes, we are trusting God. But our minds should not be too fixated to them, to the point where it leads to our breakdown. I mean, yes, obviously, we would like a life that is blessed. We would like to have answered prayers, but none of these things should dominate our minds, or they should not take first place in our minds. They should not be priority in our minds. Our priority should be God. Our priority should be Christ and the Holy Spirit, and the fact that there's a life beyond this, right? And that's actually what's going to motivate us to keep our relationship with God intact, because we know that, you know what? No matter what happens in this world, but in eternity, I'm going to have to be with God, where there's none of this, where there's none of these troubles, where there's none of these aspirations and these goals and these successes and none of this, basically, you know. So that's just one thing. Another thing that God literally revealed to me, that I'm becoming more like Him. I'm realizing what this world is about. And even though I'm still in this world, but I'm not of this world. And literally, if this world was our final destination, guys, it was our home, it wouldn't be this bad. You know, we wouldn't have these bad experiences and attacks from the enemy and lies whispered into our ears by the enemy, emotional breakdowns. But the fact that we have those things shows that we don't belong here. And that's what we should have at the forefront of our minds as believers, that there's a world beyond this. There's eternity that we will still spend with the Father beyond this. You know, so that's another thing that God revealed to me, that we are not meant to set our eyes on these things. We should not be obsessed, or we should not obsess over the things we pray for. We should not obsess over anything that we like, we would like God for us to do, you know, that we would like God to do for us, rather, you know, we shouldn't obsess over those things. What should be on the forefront of our heads is literally eternity, is literally our relationship with God, our closeness with God, our communication with God. That's what should take priority. So that's another thing that God revealed to me at that moment, you know. And God also showed me that as long as we are in the world, we will overcome, guys. We will overcome everything that's thrown at us. You know, we will overcome one way or another. The book of 1 John, I just want to show you guys the scripture that God was basing this on. The book of 1 John, chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." I just want to focus on the first sentence. For everyone born of God overcomes the world, you know. So if you're born of God, being born of God basically means being a new creation in Christ, giving your life to Christ, accepting him as your Lord and Savior. Then you become born of God. You are God's very own. You're God's child. You are called God's property. You belong to God, you know. So everyone born of God overcomes the world. And God basically showed me that at that moment, that as long as you're mine, as long as you're my child, as long as you're born again and you're born in me through Christ and you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will overcome the world. The things that the enemy throws at you, you are more than a conqueror. There's a book in the, there's a verse in the book of Romans that says we are more than conquerors in Christ. So basically, we overcome the world. As children of God, we overcome the world. We are not defeated, guys. We rise above things that are thrown at us, you know. So God literally showed me even a scripture where Jesus says that we should take heart. I believe it's in the book of John. You know, Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome the world, right? So Jesus has overcome this world. And if we are in him, we are born of God, we also overcome the world, right? We are not meant to bow out in defeat. You know, that's another thing that the Holy Spirit laid in my heart at that moment, that our bowing out, he wants it to be historic, guys. He wants us to bow out in victory. When we leave this earth, when we, you know, finally become united with him, we shouldn't leave through things like taking our own lives or, you know, being defeated or whatever it is, defeated by things of this world. But we should be the ones who bow out gracefully, who bow out in victory. For example, there's a very famous passage in scripture where Paul says, "I have run my race, I've finished my race, I've kept the faith," you know, meaning in that moment, he was feeling like he has accomplished more than anything. He has accomplished and he has been victorious in his life. And that's not to say he didn't experience hard things. He did. If you know the story of Paul, guys, he literally did. He experienced so many hardships. He experienced so many misfortunes. He was persecuted. But he was able to say, "Guys, I've finished my race. I've run my race. I've kept my faith." Because literally that's how God wants us to bow out. And that's what God was saying to me at that moment, that I know it's hard, my child. I know it's not easy. I know you feel like it requires this much. But first of all, you're not meant to carry this. You are meant to move through this life at peace and at ease and at rest for your soul. Because literally, all these things should be casted unto me. Because the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you." The book of Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 says, "Everyone who's heavy laden, carrying heavy burdens," everyone who's literally feeling like they're carrying the world on their shoulders, they literally should lay everything at my feet because I care for them. And Jesus says, "Give me all of this. You know, I'm supposed to carry this. And I came to give you rest." And God wanted me to just be in agreement with that, to say, "God, I agree with you. I'm not meant to carry it. Here it is. Take it. I agree with you. You came to give me rest from all these thoughts, from everything that the enemy is throwing at me, from the tribulations. I literally believe that I deserve rest because you died and you rose again for me to have the rest." You know, firstly. And secondly, we are not meant to set our hearts on the things that are here on earth. We're not supposed to set our minds on things that are here on earth. We're not supposed to be hyper-focused, hyper-obsessed, and we shouldn't be obsessing over the things we're praying about. We shouldn't be obsessing about, you know, all these things that we are hoping for, the successes and everything and this and this and that. We are not supposed to be focused on these things. Our minds should be set on what's above, on what's coming, on eternity, on our relationships with God, on the spiritual, on the fact that we have to stay in constant communication with God. We have to stay in prayer with God, you know, and we should believe that there's a place for us in eternity where we will be with him forever, you know. So that's literally what God was communicating to me at that moment, and that he wants me and us and you to bow out in victory, guys. You know, when people talk about us, when we've left this earth, or when Jesus comes back before we leave this earth, he wants us to literally do so in victory. You know, he wants people to remember us as women and men of faith that, you know what? Yes, Snazo is no longer here, but oh, that girl's faith, that girl's victory. She literally showed that scripture in the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, which says, anyone born of God or those who are born of God overcome the world, you know. So literally, that's what God was showing me at that moment. And you know what's funny? I was able to get the strength, guys. After God literally spoke to me and the Holy Spirit laid all these things to my heart, I literally got the strength to be like, okay, God, I'm doing this and I'm not doing it alone. I'm doing it with you because I know that you are carrying everything and I don't have to. And thank you, God, for that. Thank you for that encounter, you know. And that's where I started to get strength. That's where I started to draw closer and nearer to God because I know that's where my strength is going to come from, you know. And there's also one of my favorite scriptures in the book of Isaiah chapter 40, which says, even youths grow tired and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait on the Lord or those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength, right? They will mount high with wings like eagles. They will run and never be weary. They will walk and not faint, right? Meaning when we literally trust in God in the midst of anything that we go through, he will give us the strength to continue, guys. We will bow out gracefully. And even in the midst of the things that we're trusting God for in our everyday lives, we are able to face it because God is literally the one who's carrying all these things. And he gives us strength because we trust in him, because we are united with him, because we stay in prayer, you know, and in faith. And also pray that God give me the strength to pray, because sometimes you don't have that strength. Sometimes you don't have the strength to have faith because you're like, what's the point of having faith, you know? But faith is a gift from God, and God gives you faith, whether it's faith as a mustard seed, as small as a mustard seed, or whether it's great faith, the way you believe that God is going to move mountains for me. That is a gift from God. That's nothing that you have to, you know, get courage to do in your own strength, but trust and pray to God that he gives you the faith, you know. So basically, that's my testimony, guys. And I'm so grateful to God that he lifted me up at that moment and he drew me closer to him. You know, guys, people normally say that problems that we face or challenges that we go through normally draw us closer to God than ever before. And I felt closer to God in that moment. I continued to pray. I continued to look to his word for my sustenance, for my peace. And he's been helping me, guys. He's been helping me. And I'm not saying things have been perfect. I'm not saying anything. But one thing I can definitely say is that he has literally been my help throughout this entire, you know, time. You know, it happened a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, the real miracle, guys, is that in the same week, my pastor, when I went to church, my pastor was preaching on the book of 1 Samuel, I believe. I think it's 1 Samuel. Yes, chapter 22. And he was preaching about the cave of Adullam, right? And just to summarize it, guys, because I don't think I'll be able to just go in detail about it. But basically, the cave of Adullam is basically a cave where David was being followed and was followed by certain guys or certain people that were sent to do a mission, but they had to follow David to the cave of Adullam, right? But it's literally a cave, guys. I'm just summarizing this, guys, very, very shortly. I won't go in detail into the story, but the cave of Adullam is basically a cave, and it's a dark place, and it's basically the place of the unknown, because that's literally what's happening in a cave. If you know a cave, it's literally a cave, you know, and it's normally dark. There's normally nothing that you can trust in a cave. Some caves are really dangerous. Sometimes there's bears in caves, lions, wild animals, but literally, it was a cave, guys, and basically the pastor was preaching on that, and his message, his overarching message of that week was, it's important for us to walk with God and follow God, even in the cave of Adullam. And in the cave of Adullam, that's where you can literally be yourself and be broken and literally give the pieces of who you are to God and be like, God, this is who I am. This is what's happening. I don't want to live anymore. I'm tired. I've had enough. That's what happens in the cave of Adullam. So basically, it's the secret place. It's the dark secret place that you can't show to people, but you can show to God. To be like, God, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired. I've had enough. And literally, my pastor was saying, when you do that, that's when you see the glory of God, even out in the open, even in your life, because you sit with God in the cave of Adullam in dark places. You trust God in the darkest of places, you know. So basically, that's the preaching that my pastor was preaching about that week. And I was like, you know what, God, I feel like this is really a miracle because he's talking to me directly to the situation I'm going through, you know. And I really, truly felt like, you know, God is reviving me at that moment. God is, I felt like he was giving me a hug from heaven that, you know, I will see his glory. All of this is not in vain because nothing in God is wasted, guys. Everything that you go through, God is able to use it, you know, for your glory, for his glory and for your benefit. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, all things work together for our good, for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. And that's us, guys, us who've given our lives to Christ, us who are developing our relationships with God. That's literally us. Everything that we go through, guys, good or bad, God is able to work it all together for our good, you know. So when the pastor was preaching that, I really felt like God was using that that passage and that message to minister to me, you know. So it's absolutely important, guys, more than anything. If there's nothing you'll take from this episode, take this: have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, guys. Have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, because there are going to be times like those in life. Maybe you won't be in my situation. Maybe you won't be in the same situation that Elijah was in, where he wanted to die, where he felt like giving up and he had had enough. Maybe you won't be there, but there will probably be a dark valley that you go through, you know. And when you are in that dark valley, you won't have the strength to do anything. You won't have the strength to stand up. You won't have the strength to read the Bible. You know, maybe you'll just be fed up with God, you know, but in that moment, in those moments, having a relationship with the Holy Spirit is basically what's going to help you, you know. And there's a pastor that I really love, and I listen to him almost every day. But I mean, sometimes I come across him when I'm scrolling through my Facebook reels, right? And his pastor, David Hernandez, right? And he usually teaches on the Holy Spirit. And a scripture that I'd like to read, just to encourage you guys to stay and have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, is the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 to 14. It says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with him. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. I just want to read that sentence. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, right? So when you literally gave your life to Jesus Christ, when you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you were literally sealed with the Holy Spirit. You were given the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You know, the Bible says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So he lives inside of you. He's literally a conversation away. He's literally a prayer away. You know, you don't need to do this or do that. All you have to do is literally have faith and pray that he makes himself manifest to you at different times when you need him, you know. So more than anything, guys, take this lesson. Make the Holy Spirit your best friend. Make the Holy Spirit your best friend, guys. You will never go wrong. Talk to him about everything, every day, you know. And it's actually easy for people like myself, because I talk to myself a lot, guys. I don't know about you, but I do. And I actually really laugh when people say stuff like, you know, staying alone is actually very funny, because you knock off from work and you sit all night and you're silent until the next day. I'm like, guys, do you know me? Do you actually know me? Because I'm not that person. I literally talk to myself. I have conversations with the Holy Spirit. And that's what helps, guys. Have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Talk to him about everyday things. If something bothers you at work, talk to him. If there's something you don't understand, talk to him. If even in the most minute things, guys, that's the kind of relationship I have with the Holy Spirit. In the most minute details of life, I talk to him and I tell him, God, I don't understand this. Can you explain this to me? Why was this bird created like this? What is the point of this? What is the point? You know? And the Holy Spirit answers, guys. He lays things in my heart. And that's how he communicates with me. He lays things in my heart. For example, I'm a person, guys, this is a very funny example, by the way. But I'm someone who really doesn't like mice. And I have a fear of mice. And I believe it's something I have to overcome it. I literally have to, because it's so horrible. And I'm praying to God about it. But I was asking God one time, like, what's the point of mice? Why did you have to create mice? You know, and God laid in my heart that they are actually very important in animal habitation, in the food web of animals. You know, they fit somewhere there, around there. So that's why they were created. There's nothing that has no, you know, use or point in creation, even cockroaches, even small things, you know. So basically those things, guys. And that's how you learn the Holy Spirit's voice, and that's how you learn how he communicates with you. For some people, he communicates in dreams, and I'm also one of those people, you know, in certain instances. For some people, he communicates by laying things in your heart, like I told you right now, you know, for some things, for some people, he communicates through the word. And in fact, guys, for everyone, he uses the word in whatever way he communicates with you to know the voice of God and the voice of the Holy Spirit. Know that it will never contradict the word of God. What's written in the word is what the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. And anything that contradicts what's in the word is not the voice of God. So make him your best friend, guys. Make the Holy Spirit your best friend, because there are going to be times where it's really hard. And, you know, it's actually very beautiful, because Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 26, that the Holy Spirit is the one who will remind us of things that are in the word, remind us of things that Jesus taught us. When we don't have the strength to open the Bible, when we don't have the strength to go to our Bible apps, the Holy Spirit is going to do the job the way he did to me when I had that breakdown. He is literally the one who reminded me that, my child, my word says, don't set your minds on things above. The book of Matthew chapter 11, 28 says, everyone who's heavy laden and carrying heavy burdens must come to me and I will give them rest. You know, he literally reminded me of all of these things, reminded me that everyone born of God overcomes the world. And if I was someone who did not know the word, that's another important thing, guys. Know the word of God, because that's how the Holy Spirit is going to communicate with you. And the word of God is literally a weapon when it comes to warfare. When the enemy is attacking you, you literally attack back with the word. If you know the word in your heart, that's what the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance, you know. So it's very, very important, guys. Know the word of God. Know the word of God. Have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Talk to him like he's your best friend, because he is your best friend, you know, and he's your helper. You know, the Bible describes him as our helper, our advocate, our counselor, all these things, guys. And he literally shows up as everything you need at different times in your life. So make him your friend, so that when big situations come up in life, big breakdowns come up in life, you're able to stand your ground. You're able to call upon him. You're able to see him manifest, you know, because you're used to talking to him about everyday things and you're used to talking to him every day. So when those big moments come, you're literally not stranded, because you know that he shows up. So that's what I have for you today, guys. God is good. God is a helper, guys. Yo, I always say God is the glue that keeps us together, because he literally is that. So I'm praying for every one of you guys. If you're in a similar situation, if you're battling mental health, whatever it is, guys, the Holy Spirit is there. God is there. Whether people have deserted you, whether you feel alone, you're never truly alone. The Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit holds your hand. The Holy Spirit heals you. He calms you down. He is literally your help. He heals. He delivers. He sets free. The Bible says God heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. And I have really strong faith, guys, to say God doesn't do a half job. When he heals completely, you know. So he can heal you in that situation. He can deliver you from that breakdown. He can deliver you from whatever it is, guys, that emotional state you're in, the mental health diagnosis. There's nothing above God, guys. Oh, there is nothing above God. And I can vouch for him. I can advocate for him. I testify about him. He's good and he's God, and he can still be God even in your life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praying for all of you guys. Thank you so, so much. We've come to the end of our episode this week. Don't forget to subscribe, whether you listen, wherever you're listening to your podcasts from, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and please continue boosting us on Iono. Listen to these episodes, guys, and I trust and believe they're having a powerful impact in your lives. And I pray, guys, I really, really pray for you. And there are also other podcasts to listen to here at Sowetan. There's Taking Rams by the Horns. There is the SL Cabinet. So be sure to check those out as well. Until next time, you are loved, you are treasured, you're precious in your Heavenly Father's sight. God bless. Mm-hmm.